Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of My Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing well. Today we have, I'm going to talk about the budget process in the state of Kentucky. We are coming up on the session. It will be here before we know it, like 2 weeks from now. Pretty crazy. Probably closer to three, but very close. Let's talk a little bit about the budget. Okay, Jasmine, so we have talked about a ton of stuff that the legislature has done since we started this podcast. Like, more than a year, we talked about, you know, right to work. We've talked about, you know, prevailing wage. We've been talking about abortion. We've been talking about, like, all these things that the legislature does. But in reality, the Kentucky legislature has one real job, setting the biennial budget. Like, you had one job, right? Isn't that like a thing? And they don't always do it. That's not something that always happens, but they do really have one job in the Kentucky Constitution, and that is to set the biennial budget, the budget for 2 years. Jasmine, a long time ago, actually not even that long ago, Kentucky legislature, they didn't actually used to meet every year. It used to be the case that they met once every other year, and they passed a budget, and that was basically what they did. They just met every other year, they passed a budget, and that was what happened. Nowadays, we have short sessions on odd years and long sessions on even years, and the longer sessions, there's 60 legislative days, which, you know, we talked about this last year, but a legislative day isn't necessarily just a day. You can just declare a legislative.
There's breaks and, you know.
Yeah, it can last like up to 3, 4, even 5 months. I think that they have to be out before the end of May. So there you go. We had this long session that happens on even years. But on these long sessions, budgets have to be passed. The upcoming session is a budget session. So yeah, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit about how budgets get made in the state of Kentucky. So Jasmine, it is required by the law, by the Constitution, that the state of Kentucky has to pass a balanced budget. This is a buzzword in politics and government, right?
Balancing the budget. You hear about it all the time.
You do. You hear about it all the time. And basically, all that means is that revenues have to be the same as expenses, which, you know, that makes sense, right? You know,
logical.
You want to bring in as much as you spend. You don't want to spend more than you bring in. But the problem with this is that the budget is a two-year document, and you're projecting into the future. You know, maybe you can predict income taxes pretty well, even though they come in like quarterly. You know, individual taxpayers, they usually pay before the middle of April. You know, you can kind of like understand what's coming in there. But, you know, sales taxes, which is another big chunk of Kentucky's revenue, they come in all the time. You know, they're always being remitted. If every store, anybody that sells anything, they have to remit these sales taxes back to the state government. And those are always coming in. So, Jasmine, the big question that you may have is, how do we know if the budget is going to be balanced if we, you know, basically have to guess at the revenue that we're going to receive? So the first group we want to talk about today is called the Consensus Forecasting Group. So we've talked about a little bit about the Consensus Forecasting Group in the past. This is the group that released that pessimistic view of revenues, and that caused Governor Bevin to cut the budget earlier this year. Remember that?
Right. Is this when they, after releasing that, the governor was like, we have to do these 17% cuts all around.
Exactly. Okay. And everybody was like, let's just pump the brakes a little bit here, man. Let's wait until we have a little bit more time to see what the revenue is going to be when it comes in. So the Consensus Forecasting Group, that's basically their job. Their job is to say, here's how much revenue we're actually going to have. And they provide the governor that information. And the governor then takes that information, and then the governor can put together what's called an executive budget proposal. That's a word that just basically means the governor's priorities for what the budget should be. And that's based on the budget request of all the several different areas in state government that are part of the executive branch. So the executive branch itself is by far the largest part of the government. It is everything that isn't the legislature.
There's so many executive agencies.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And it's basically anytime you come into contact with the government, it will be as a part of the executive branch, unless you're a member of the legislature or you going to court.
Right.
So if you're in court or if you're part of the legislature, that's the judicial and the legislative branch. But basically everywhere else, any sort of social service agencies, the police, anything like that.
Department
that,
of Transportation.
Roads,
all
parks.
All these departments.
Yeah, anything that has to do with, that isn't the legislature or the courts, that is the executive branch. And the governor collects all of the budget requests from all the different agencies, and he puts them together in what's called the, you know, the executive budget proposal. And then, of course, this goes into this goes into a bigger budget bill. The other two parts are the budget request of the LRC, which is the Legislative Research Commission, that puts together the legislative budget request, and the Chief Justice of Skokie, the Supreme Court of the Kentucky, that puts together a budget request for the Supreme Court, or really the judicial branch for the whole government.
I think you just like saying Skokie.
I'm trying to make it happen. It hasn't happened yet, but we're going to make it happen. So all three of these things, the executive branch budget, the executive budget proposal, the LRC's budget request, and the judicial budget request, all go into a budget bill. And the budget bills are introduced first in the House of Representatives very shortly after the legislative session begins in even-numbered years. And those bills, the budget bills, are assigned to the Appropriations and Revenue Committee. This committee then marks up these bills with amendments. So, you know, oh, gosh, the executive branch said that we should cut this, social services. They say that we are spending too much on social workers and not enough on police. And somebody else might say, no, we need to spend more on parks and less on, you know, agriculture. All these things get sussed out in the Appropriations and Revenue Committee. And you know, since budget bills are so important, seats on the committee are very coveted, and they often go to the most powerful members of the legislature.
Ugh, that is not the committee I'd want to be on. That sounds terrible. That sounds like a terrible job.
You get to make all the decisions about who gets money and who
I
doesn't.
I guess so, but it'd be so hard.
When I was in high school, they used to say that politics is the study of who gets what when. And that is, you know, that comes right down to this. This is, you know, who gets what when. And that's every 2 years we pass a budget that says how much money each individual group gets. So once the bill passes out of the A&R committee, so, you know, all the Republicans and Democrats typically are bickering and fighting. And then whoever's the party in power passes what they want. And the people who are out of power get really mad about it. Then the bill goes to the full body. So it goes to the full House of Representatives, and then it gets three readings on the House floor, which means that there's like three opportunities for floor amendments. People can get up and be like, we should do this, and then leadership can be like, calm down, sit back down. It's basically a way for minority parties, and then sometimes, you know, other offshoots of the majority party who really want to get something passed, to kind of like raise a ruckus and try to get people on their side, and then do further markups from the floor. Then once the bill passes the House of Representatives, which, you know, that typically this is like law and order, right, Jasmine? It's way faster than it is in reality. Like, you know how.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is like the law and order version of how the budget works. Like, this is a process that takes several weeks at a time often. But once the bill passes the House of Representatives, there is an exact mirroring of this process that happens in the Kentucky Senate. So it goes to the A&R committee and then to the floor with the three readings, and the same thing happens in the Senate as happens in the House. The minority party tries to put amendments in there. They try to change things. They typically are unsuccessful. And then once the House passes a bill, you know, if it's the same bill in the House and the Senate, then you're great. But that almost never is the case, and it really hasn't been the case in the past. So, Jasmine, if you remember, Greg Stumbo used to be the Speaker of the House. He was a Democrat back before the Republicans took control of the state legislature.
Correct.
And so Democrats had control of the House, and Republicans had control of the Senate. So basically we had a Democratic budget, and then we had a Senate budget, which were very different. The Democratic House budget and the Republican Senate budget would then go to a conference committee, and that's typically very important members of the legislature, probably the most important people who hammer out the differences. They do a bunch of negotiations. Again, this is a much longer process than this entails. And then the bills go back to the House and Senate. They're passed one final time, and then they go to the governor for signatures. So, Jasmine, it's going to be very interesting to me how this process plays out this year. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of people who kind of thought that the Republicans, since they now have unified control, House, Senate, and governor, that they would all kind of get on the same page. They would kind of have an idea about what kind of budget they want to pass. And I think that the expectation kind of was that it's going to sail through. Obviously, the events of the past couple of months have meant that that is not the case. So I don't think that anybody's on the same page right now.
It doesn't seem that way.
Right. So David Osborne, who I think is just going to be speaker for just this year, is the way that it kind of seems like it's going to work. I don't really know how much time he spent with, you know, Robert Stivers and Matt Bevin. They seem to be kind of on the different pages based on who needs to be in the House of Representatives. That seems to be something that they're arguing about. So I don't know how much time they've spent trying to hammer out a budget. In addition, we have this massive pension thing. Governor Bevin really wanted to pass a pension bill in the inside of a special session so that they would know how much money they would need to pass in a budget. But it looks like they're all trying to do that all at once now, which is going to be a huge undertaking. So I don't know if it's going to be that the House does one thing, the Senate does another, and then they have to have another conference, even though they're both Republican groups, or if they're going to have some sort of coordination. So
right.
It really is yet to be seen.
And just a few weeks ago, Governor Bevin said that he was still going to have a special session because he said he was going to. But then I believe this week he came out and said, well, it looks like we might not.
Yeah, it does look like we might not.
Here we are, December 13th.
Right, and he did say, I think he said it was due to, he had some crazy quote, like that the sexual proclivities of,
yes.
Some weird statement where he's like, it's their fault for being gross. Which, he's got a point. So anyways, once the bill actually passes, so once we've gone through this whole process, the governor's collected all these, that process is probably already finished. The governor's probably putting the finishing touches on the executive budget request. Once it goes through the process, though, of going through the House of Representatives, having three readings on the House floor, passing, going to the Senate, going through the committee, having three readings on the Senate floor, passing a conference if necessary, and then a full bill then is passed, that bill then goes to the governor. Now, Jasmine, we talked a little bit about gubernatorial vetoes last year. Remember, there was like a couple of really weird things that like the governor vetoed, like renaming things after snake. Do you remember that? Like,
yeah,
like the Snake Road or whatever they wanted to like for motorcyclists, and they were like trying to name it something cool so that they get more tourism. And the governor was like, "No, I think that's dumb," and they overrode his veto. Anyways, the governor for the budget has what's called a line item veto, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Right. That's like a vocabulary from, your high school government class.
Yes. And they actually try to institute this in the federal government at one point in time, and I think it was declared unconstitutional. You probably learned about that at one point or another.
Yeah.
Anyways, the line item veto in the state budget is that the governor doesn't need to necessarily veto the entire budget bill. The governor can veto line by line. I don't want to spend money on this. I don't want to spend money on this. I don't think we need this or that. You can veto these things, but the veto override provisions still apply, which aren't very harsh in Kentucky. I think you just basically need a majority. So even if the governor does line item veto some stuff, they can put it back in pretty easily. So, Jasmine, that is the process by which the budget becomes law in Kentucky. And we are in for a wild ride this year. So this session, the governor has already said that the budget will be, quote, brutally difficult. Brutally difficult. So I don't know what that
difficult
means.
Difficult to write it, cuts, absolutely.
I think that the word
massive cuts,
the statement of brutally difficult, I think was said in an attempt to kind of gin up kind of fervor around the pension bill. Like, if we don't deal with this pension problem, we're going to have to make like 45% cuts in state agencies or something like
right.
that.
Right. And this is kind of the governor's way to do everything, where he kind of makes everything a crisis.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's absolutely true. He makes everything a crisis in order to try to get something passed. I'm going to be very interested to see, first of all, if it does come to pass that they have to deal with all this pension stuff at the same time that they're dealing with the budget stuff, having all that stuff kind of add up at the same time and there being massive across the board cuts to, services to people. If, first of all, they're going to be able to pass that over the, protests of people out in the state. And second of all, if Democrats are going to be able to make hay out of that. So I do think that there will be some pretty brutal cuts because they're going to be trying to make some massive influx into the pension, which may or may not be necessary based on the math. But the budget will probably include cuts on top of agencies that have already been severely cut. So that's what we're looking for this year. But this process is something that's going to take a long time, and we will talk about it a lot. But we wanted everybody to be informed about how it works. Jasmine, do you feel like you've learned a little about the budget?
I have.
Excellent.
Thanks, Robert.
I'm glad of that. Whew, no quick hits today, Jasmine. But Jasmine, how can people find out about us?
They can find us on Twitter at MyOldKYPod. They can like our Facebook page, My Old Kentucky Podcast. We post our show notes on Medium, and you can find our podcast at the podcasting app of your choice.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week.
In your Kentucky home, this summer.